All right, episode 20 of Whiskey Throttle Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening. Great episode today. Kicking it off, we'll have GNCC XC3 champ Jesse Ainsley on to talk all about his 2018 winning season, racing Minios, and his new ride, the Trail Jesters KTM team. After that, we'll have the guys from the Sports Gambling Degenerates podcast on, Matt Bacardi and Robert Galler. They come on, talk all about sports, the legalization of sports gambling, which is coming very soon to most states, and how that kind of is going to expand into smaller, you know, smaller sports like motocross, X Games, and, you know, we kind of just shoot the shit for about an hour. Really cool interview with those guys. Before we get into all that, I want to talk to you guys about Blood Lubricants. They've been a sponsor of the show for about 6 months now, and they're coming out some really cool stuff. They got their great motor oil, which is awesome. And then they have other cool stuff coming out, like chain lube and bike cleaner. And you know, Jeff over there is a really cool dude, and they want to hook you guys up as well. So you make sure you use promo code WHISKEY at bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com, for 25% off all of their products. I also want to give a shout-out to Risk Racing. They make a bunch of cool, innovative stuff. And you can check out all their cool products at riskracing.com. Follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, Twitter, we're on Patreon. Subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from, we're on there. And yeah, let's get into this show. On the line with me right now, 2018 GNCC XC3 champ, Jesse Ainsley. What's up, bud?
Oh, just soaking it all in. Just like you said, you know, the champ. I'm living it up and trying to get every last drop of mindset in before the training starts back up.
Yeah, dude, you're a professional dirt bike riding champion. Has that sunk in yet?
Yeah, no, it's been good, and luckily I was able to get back home and kind of enjoy it for a couple weeks and take some time off and mess around and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's set in, but it makes me even hungrier to try to defend it next year.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask, what's it like being back home in the hot Southwest Florida sun?
Well, it was actually awesome because when I left up north, it was like 40 degrees. And so I got a couple of weeks of good sun rays and didn't make it to the beach. I was kind of hoping to make it to the beach, but I didn't make it to the beach. And now it's like 50 degrees outside and I'm kind of liking it. But for training, I'm hoping it gets back in the 80s. Soon.
Well, just to make you feel better, I'm looking outside my blinds right now, and there's about a foot of snow on my neighbor's car. So if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah, that would definitely put a stop on the training aspect, at least outdoor-wise. And I'm not much of a treadmill or stationary bicyclist. It drives me insane.
Yeah, I don't think many people are. But hey, let's... You know, enough about me talking about how cold it is up here in North Carolina and just, you know, missing Florida. One, because it's hot, and two, because, you know, I can't go to the track and whoop your ass anymore. But not that I have been able to do that in like 10 years. But, yeah, so XC3 champ, you won 7 races this year. You know, just quickly take me through your season, man.
Yeah, so we started off pretty good. I came from last to first in my first ever XC3 race. And with one lap to go, I had a mechanical with my forks, just something that never, ever breaks. just somehow broke and ended up having to go back to the trailer and put a different set on just so I can, you know, my lap counted. And I ended up like 12th or something, but I was really confident. And of course, you know, Florida's right after that. So, again, I came from last again and ended up getting into the lead and then won that. And we had some good rides up and down, and I was there towards the middle. I had a rough race, and I started kind of taking it serious again. And, you know, I really focused on what I needed to improve on and stuff like that. And we started clicking away, and we were a top runner the last two before the break. And then after the break, I won them all out from there. So, you really couldn't have a better last three GNCCs with me coming off wins and kind of motivating to keep the streak alive once we get back at it next year.
Yeah, and talking about next year, you got a sweet new ride with the Trail Jesters KTM. For those of you who don't know, that was Ben Kelly's, or it still is Ben Kelly's team. He just won the XC2 title. So that's got to, you know, give you some confidence to be on a team that, you know the stuff's good. How did that deal come about?
Yeah, so it actually worked out awesome. So with the Trail Jesters, there's multiple riders, and Ben happens to be one of them. And Ben was down here in Florida training, and I just got to know him pretty well. And, you know, throughout the season or whatnot, and then at Snowshoe GNCC, he introduced me to the team owner, and his name is Ross. And, you know, we met, and then, you know, we followed each other and stuff on Instagram, and we just chatted it back and forth. And I really had, you know, like, you know, no expectation or whatnot. And then we ended up just started talking once the GNCC started rolling around again. And yeah, it's been a good couple of weeks with them so far. Ended up going to California for the photo shoot. And, you know, it's a good opportunity to work closer to the factory. And, yeah, it should be a good year, and happy to have the opportunity.
So is Dirty Mike switching from Ben to you, or is he sticking with Ben for next year? Or do we know yet?
Nope. So he's definitely sticking with Ben next year. I was able to keep my mechanic, which is Tom.
Okay.
And has been for my whole entire career. I'm not sure if that's going to change in the next couple of years or so, but no, I was able to keep Tom as my mechanic, and we're going to, you know, he's going to make sure my bike's 100% every single race. I have no doubt about it. And it's a good winning combination for sure.
And I saw today on your Instagram that you're going to be defending XC3 next year. What was the decision behind, you know, defending that number one plate instead of moving up?
Well, you know, there's a couple things that come into play when we talk about moving up the classes. And one of them's maturity. And, you know, I'm only 18, and I still have a lot more years left in me. So there's really no rush to, you know, get to XC2. And when you compare my times, you know, I'm a 6th through 8th place guy in XC2. So, you know, there would be no point for me and no point for all the sponsors that are, you know, throwing a lot of money and product and stuff out there. And they don't want to see their rider getting 6th every weekend. And I know I wouldn't be happy that way. And then another thing is, you know, it's the corporate side and the political side where, you know, they KTM has Caleb winning XC1. They have Ben winning XC2. And, you know, Ben and Josh winning XC2. And then they have me winning and have potential to win XC3. So there's all three KTM guys in the XC class is winning, and that's what they like. So it kind of, you know, from me to the team manager to Tom to everybody around me, it's kind of a big decision between everybody, and everyone has their own opinions and stuff, but we're just going to do what's best for me. And, you know, Tom's been around this sport long enough, and Auntie's been around this sport long enough where they know what's good and what's bad, and we're just going to try to defend it. And you know what? If it doesn't happen, I just hope I give it my 100% best shot and leave nothing on the line.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the how you said you're winning XC3, but if you look at your times, you're 6th, 7th, or 8th guy. So this is my opinion. You could tell me I'm wrong, because I probably am, Jesse, and you know a lot more about GCs than I do. But the reason I love this XC3 class, because for that exact reason, like, it's a perfect stepping stone almost, because if, like you said, you'd be 6th or 7th or 8th in XC2, you're still hauling ass, you're still, you know, getting 6th place in a pro class, but I feel like you definitely got way more exposure this year riding XC3, winning XC3 than, let's see, Michael Wachowski. You got 6th place. Like, Mike's a great rider, but I definitely, you know, heard about you way more on racetracks and stuff like that, and, you know, that leads to getting these rides like Trail Jesters and stuff like that. Wouldn't you agree? Just kind of XC3.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. No, the XC3 is definitely one of the best things GNCC has done for their series and for us riders. You know, and it's not only just an up and coming class. It's where, you know, some old, I would say old and, you know, 30s, 35, you know, but, you know, some older pro guys, you know, retired guys, they want to come race again and they ride that class too. So like this year for me, you know, I was riding with Jason Raines, and, you know, since he's older and he's, you know, a little bit rusty, I was able to keep up with him and battle with him. And I learned just so much, you know, with his technique and his knowledge of racing all those years. That also helps the up and comers that are also in that class. And so, yeah, I think it's a really good class, and it's pretty cool that it's brand new. So I can say that I was the first person to win on a KTM, and saying that jokingly, you know, it's only the second year and next year will be the third. So it's still new and it still has some kinks to work out, and it's only going to get bigger. The class is only going to get bigger, and it's only going to get more stacked, just like XC2.
Yeah, I was going to say it grew so much just this year over last year. And, you know, I'm kind of just looking at the results now. Like you said, older guys can come and race it. And then, like, you had Luke Renslin, Tony Archer. You had a couple of motocross riders come and ride it, just for Travis Sewell. So it's a cool pro class for guys who, you know, Luke Renslin's not going to probably want to come back and race XC1 or XC2, where he can just go have fun on a 125 and still race a pro class.
Yeah, for sure. There's nothing more fun to ride than a 125. I don't know about for 3 hours, but it's definitely the most fun bike to ride. And, you get some good people, some one-off guys that come race. And, you know, heck, at Big Buck, we had, I think, 22 guys. And then at Powerline Park, we only had 4. So there's a huge rider loss at some of the races, but then other races it's massive. So you know, if we can just keep those numbers up every weekend, and it's just going to get more exposure, and like I said, the competition's only going to get deeper.
Yeah, for sure. I couldn't agree more. There isn't much something more fun than riding a 125. I gotta ask you this, Jesse. I sold my bike. I was thinking about just getting something up here. I was looking at a couple 125s, but I'm pushing 220. Think I'm a little too big?
I don't know. It's 2018, you know, it's pretty, you can't judge anybody. So
yeah, I might get offended.
I would say go for it.
I might get offended,
but I would, definitely order a lot of top end kits.
Okay.
But, I would definitely go with a KTM, obviously. Not only because I have to say that, but it is truly the best 125 out there in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinion. And I guess if you're a weekend warrior, it would be okay. I know you have a real job now, so
yeah.
I think you'll be okay.
So, like, a couple years ago, I was running, like, consistent top fives in A class in the old local FTR races, and I felt pretty good about myself. Then, you know, I've been struggling the past couple years. I'm like, oh, I'm just kind of washed up. But now, Jesse, I am fully washed up. My back hurts every morning. I'm tired. I had to hike up a hill today to go sledding at work, and I was huffing and puffing and had to take a break. So I might be done forever.
Yeah, so now you can go and be a true weekend warrior, and if you look like a goon, it doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, I like that. I like looking like a goon sometimes. That's why I ride the old pre-modern class, you know? I can't help it.
That's right.
So what you're saying is I need to get on the Jesse Ainsley training program. So without giving away your secrets, Jesse, what are some things you've been doing for training? Get back into it.
So actually I have a really good trainer this last year. I'm working with Charlie Mullins, and I mean, there's no secret about hard work, and that's about pretty much all it is being structured and putting in the work and, you know, being very regimented and strict on yourself. Obviously it's not for some people. It's, you know, most people would rather just have fun, and if they want to go run, they go run. If not, they do something else. But for me, it's better if I just stay structured, and if I don't want to go run, that means I need to go run. And I just work better that way. My mind's happier when I'm that way. And so this year I have the opportunity to continue with them. And this week is actually my first week back running and off the bike training, obviously, because I can't ride the bike yet since I'm injured. But I found a video of it, and it's someone that like is just walking and then falls down on its face, and it says like when you haven't done anything in weeks and you go to work out. And I sent that video to Charlie because I'm a little fatigued and I'm really sore from just doing like little stuff. So I have a couple weeks to get acclimated and back up to 100%.
I gotcha. You know, you kept talking about running and all that stuff, and I just kind of wanted to go to bed because I was already tired. You're just saying running. It just makes me tired. I just kind of want to crack open a beer, you know?
Yeah, some days I feel the same. but, yeah, and it's funny whenever I talk to Charlie and Caleb, and they tell me, oh, when I was 18, you know, I was eating Taco Bell. And I'm like, well, thanks to you guys, and you elevated the off-road sport, I can't do that. Like, I have to be eating the right things. I have to be doing everything to the T to be at the level I'm at. And they're like, well, I guess you're true. You're right. And I'm like, yeah. So I can't go enjoy Taco Bell or whatever. And so, yeah, we always get a good kick out of that. But, yeah, it's just something that you have to do. And luckily, I kind of enjoy it. So it's not too bad.
Well, and, you know, lucky for you, there is no Taco Bells in Mayaca City. So it kind of helps.
Yeah, that's very true. We have to drive into town. But there's actually a Chipotle.
Uh-oh.
They just put a new Chipotle in, and it's closer than anything we have. So I think they did that just for me.
Probably,
I don't know.
They probably did. You mentioned you got a little injury going on. You probably don't want to talk about it, but I really want to ask, you did mini-O's, you know, with the Barkbusters on.
Yep.
And big tank and everything. What was kind of the reasoning behind that? Just go out there and have some fun?
Yeah, it was, I mean, I take every single day of the year serious, and I won my championships already, and Tom was going to be at mini-O's anyways, and he asked me if I wanted to come watch. And I, like, took a couple seconds. I was like, well, what if I raced? And ever since I said that, everyone was so pumped, and we were so ready. And I was like, well, I was kind of just kidding. But I said, well, go for it. And I was, like, you know, off and on about the classes I was going to ride, and then either Supercross and Motocross or both. And, yeah, the injury sucks. It's bittersweet to talk about it. But I'm almost back on the bike, and it's just a small speed bump, and it's really no issue. It's kind of, if there was any time to happen out throughout the year, it's definitely the best time to happen, as bad as that is to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is the off season, and it does suck that I hurt it while I was doing something other than what I was supposed to be doing, but it is what it is.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but at first you were thinking it was going to be a little bit worse than it actually is, right?
Yeah, so at first, all I was told was I broke my elbow. And I was actually had pretty good-sized puncture wounds in my elbow. And so I was like, I wasn't bleeding out, but I was pouring blood pretty much everywhere. And the hospital just kept re-gauzing me. And I was on IVs and stuff because my blood pressure was low. I was just losing blood. And then we go to the x-ray table and they x-ray me. And as soon as I got to the x-ray table, I knew something was broke, but I knew it wasn't my elbow. And so I ended up just breaking the tip of my humerus off. And so it's not something like super major. And I actually have like 90% range of motion so far, maybe a little bit less. And I can use my right hand now and stuff like that. So it's been pretty good. It's been a pretty speedy recovery. I think it should only be a month and a half when it's all said and done before I'm back on the bike.
Yeah, that does sound a lot better than a whole broken elbow. And, you know, as anything with motocross, it, you know, could always be worse. So, and like you said, happened in November, season doesn't start back until March. So kind of, it's shitty to happen, but it's good that it happened then. Before I let you go, Jesse, I want to ask you, you're a street biker now. When are the tattoos and the bandanas and all that coming out?
I got to wait. I mean, I'm just now able to walk in the tattoo shop and get a tattoo on my own. I still had it. I still needed parental consent, you know, a couple months ago, but no, for sure. I got a street bike in June because I had some money set aside and I needed to start building my credit anyways. So I was like, you know what? For my birthday, I'm just going to buy myself a street bike. And so ended up picking it up and riding it, and it's been fun. Obviously, I can't really ride it right now, and since it's tourist season, it's a little sketchy to ride on the roads anyways. But no, I really like it. It's something to kind of kick my mind off of some things, and you know, I'm just on the open roads with the wind in my face, and yeah, it's been good, and I would like to ride a lot more, but it's kind of convenient. If I ever do want to ride, I just turn the key and go. And yeah, I've been liking it.
You can just ride up to Chipotle whenever you want.
Exactly. for sure.
All right, Jesse. I said that was the last thing, but I'm going to put you on the spot right here. Give me your Anaheim 1 450 podium.
450 podium? I think Cooper Webb's going to surprise a lot of people. I don't think he's going to win, but he might be a battling for third. For some top three. So I put him in third. And then, you know, obviously I got to put Tomac either first or second. And then I think Anderson is going to do pretty good. So it's going to be Anderson, Tomac, and Webb. But I don't know what order.
I feel like Webb is either going to, like you said, battle for that podium spot, or it's not going to go well. You know, I feel like it's kind of a no in between. I'm hoping. I'm not the biggest Cooper Webb fan, but I just kind of feel bad. Like, he was so good on 250s, and he's had injuries and stuff. So it'd be nice to see him, you know, get up there.
Yeah, for sure. I don't really know those guys personally, but just from what I've seen and heard and stuff, you know, he's on the Alden program, and if you want to be a champion, the Alden program works. You know, obviously you have to be putting in the work and stuff, but if you want to be a champion, Alden will definitely make you one. And, you know, obviously Marvin's going to be really good, but the 450 class is going to be so stacked this year. It's going to be a fight for the top three. I don't, you know, every single race.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's, if you just look at the potential lineup for A1, it's like 18 factory dudes. So should be good. All right, Jesse.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much for coming on. Heal up. We'll get you back on before the season starts, see how the off season went. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Ever since I started this podcast, you didn't win a pro championship until I started this podcast, is what I'm trying to say. So you should really be thanking me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every time I get on, I get all super nervous and I feel like super important. And every weekend, I just think about, you know, if I win, I could probably be on the podcast.
Yep.
And then every time I win, I never get a text. So then I'm like, crap. So I got to like keep trying harder. And then finally I win the championship. I get back on. So now it gives me more incentive to keep winning. So maybe I can get more time on the podcast and more exposure. You know, them Instagram followers need to keep rising.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't have you on, Jesse. Like I'm a big name in the sport. I can't just have you on after a race win. Champions only.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know it's hard. I'm sure there's people begging you. Mm-hmm. So
Dungy and
Villapoto. I just try to keep low key, and I tell you no sometimes to make it even more special when I do get on.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, it's pretty cool. And all jokes aside, the podcast is pretty cool, and I hope everyone likes it. I personally listen to all of them when I drive, and it kills time the best. And it's good to listen to what other people have to say. You can learn some things.
Well, Jesse, that's probably the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. So thank you. And thank you again for coming on. I want to talk to you guys about oil. And not just any oil. I'm talking about Blood Lubricants. Blood is a manufacturer of advanced technology synthetic lubricants for the racing industry. Jeff Green has been producing high-quality synthetic lubricants since 1983, and is constantly pushing the bar for high-quality oil. Blood sponsors top privateers like Henry Miller and Tyler Bowers and offers sponsorship programs from the amateur level all the way to the pros. Racing is in their blood. Whether you're ripping up the motocross track, hitting the hills on a side-by-side, or cruising back roads on your street bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered with their 100% synthetic oil, specifically engineered for high-performance machines, and their superior anti-wear technology that optimizes wet clutch performance and keeps your engine clean and reduces varnish. Make sure to check out their website, bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com, or buyblood.com, B-U-Y-B-L-U-D.com. All products have a 100% guarantee, and be sure to use the promo code WHISKEY to receive the 25% off all products. Again, that's the promo code WHISKEY for 25% off all products. All right, back to the show. All right, real excited to have these guys on. They're from the Sports Gambling Degenerates podcast. And they are a bunch of degenerates. It's Matt Picardi and Robert Galler. What's up, boys?
What's going on, man? Good to be here. What's up, Curdy? How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Robert, how you feeling? I heard you had a good night last night.
What happened last night?
You got a little drunk.
Oh, yeah. I was a little drunk last night.
Yeah. What? Well, that's nothing new, though, right?
You know, weekday. Yeah, I had some Wendy's. I ate a lot of Wendy's, so that was the highlight.
Great drug move. Yeah.
Hey, post-grad life, treating you well.
All right. Yeah, we'll go with that.
All right, well, you know, I want to get you guys on, talk a little bit about your podcast. It's called The Sports Gambling Degenerates. What's it all about, and why did you guys get this thing started?
So literally one day, Galler called me in my car, about to walk into Publix, and he goes, hey, you want to do a sports gambling podcast? And I was like, yep. So that's pretty much how it got started. And, I mean, we both enjoy talking sports, having hot takes, and especially gambling on sports. And, you know, we just turn it into kind of whatever we feel like talking about that day, whatever the current sports topics are. We like to have a good time with it and discuss everything kind of with a gambling aspect to it. And, you know, just kind of make some hot takes and say some outlandish stuff sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to just about all of them, and, you know, I feel like it's a real high-dollar production you guys have going on over there.
Yeah, it's the lowest ring of the production ladder, for sure.
Yeah, we're, like, the bottom feeders of the podcast world, but, you know, we're cool with that. Like Matt said, I called him one day, I was like, dude, I don't care if 1,000 people listen or just, like, 20 people listen, like, just us sitting here drinking some beer, shooting the shit, and just talking sports. When we do it on the phone anyway with each other, we were like, why not just, you know, make a podcast and see where it goes? And, you know, kind of like you did. It's just, you do it, you know, Whiskey Throttle Radio. It's something you're passionate about, BMX, motocross, and, you know, same thing over here. So at the end of the day, we're just doing it to have some fun, and, you know, that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, that's the main thing, is just that we have a lot of fun doing it. Like you said, we're talking on the phone almost every day, having these outlandish sports debates anyways. We might as well, talk about them for other people to hear. And, you know, we've been fortunate enough that people have actually found us interesting and are listening. So it's been a good start to the podcast first couple months here.
Yeah, you know, that's awesome to hear. The same thing with me, you know, like when I first started, I was like, kind of like, oh, I hope a bunch of people listen. But like after like the first, you know, two or three episodes, I'm like, I don't give a fuck if two people listen. You know, as
yep, exactly. That's exactly how I feel about it too. Because we're just doing what we love, and we're just talking sports.
So the big thing that's happened recently, and I don't even know that much about it, but I know you two know about it. What's up with the legalization of sports gambling? Where's that standing at right now, and what's going on with that?
Yeah. So there's
the worst thing that could have happened for me.
There's a lot of levels to this that gets into, just the legal and climate and state by state and the actual laws. So technically right now, the only state where you are legally allowed to sports gamble is New Jersey. They're actually
the armpit of America.
Exactly. So, they're actually setting up, if they have not set them up already, but I know they were setting up actual betting stations and kiosks in the Prudential Center where the New Jersey Devils play, that people can, like, legitimately gamble on the game that they're at. And I think it's the future of sports across the country, because it's kind of one of those things that it might take a while, but I think, you know, eventually 5 years, 10 years down the road, every state's going to kind of follow along and legalize it. And I think you're at a point where one day, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to think about, you know, sitting in your seat at the Dolphins game and having an app on your phone that you can gamble what the next play is going to be right there at your seat, and it's totally legal. And I think that that's like not a crazy thing to think about. Like in the relatively near future of sports, like I don't think this is 20 years down the road. I think this is closer to like 5 years down the road, where it's going to be like very interactive crowd, and because you know they're trying to do more and more to get people at games too. And I think they're going to do a good job of incorporating gambling into that fan experience when you go to a game.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you probably would have won a ton of money, too, if you would have bet on that Miami Miracle, huh?
Dude, what a fucking play, man. Yeah, how about that? Coming from a Dolphins fan, like, where were you? Like, how did you watch that? How did that all unfold for you?
So, in Charlotte, I normally spend my Sundays at a Dolphins bar. It's a real depressing place. There's about 100 of us there.
Wow. Wait, can we just pause there? There is a Dolphins bar in Charlotte, North Carolina.
You bet your
is that
ass. You bet your ass.
That is the most breaking news. That's breaking news right there.
Yeah, I don't know if that's pathetic or brilliant, but go on.
It's a cool place. It's like there's a bowling alley in it, and it's like a game time almost, but more like a bar. It's pretty cool.
What is this place like not on a Sunday when it's not? Is it like a legitimate 24/7 Dolphins bar?
No.
Or just a place that on Sundays kind of goes Dolphins and people show up?
Just Sundays it goes Dolphins.
Gotcha.
So is there, like, Dolphins memorabilia on, like, walls? Like, are the owners, have you gotten, like, this far into it? Or is this just a place that, like, you know they'll always have the Dolphins game on?
Well, they got the Dolphins game on with sound, which is a big thing. And then every...
Wow. So that's
a deal breaker for watching
right
a bar.
Yeah, I think that when people say what classifies a bar of being a team bar, I think it's having the volume on no matter how good of a game might be on as well. You know, like the Steelers Patriots is going to be a great game, but if they have the volume on for the Dolphins, like that is
a Dolphins bar. So you were at this bar for the Miami Miracle?
No, but before I get into that, I'm just going to say this. They play the theme song every time we score, and there's about probably 30, 35 TVs in there, and 34 of them are on the Dolphins game, and one is on the Panthers. So, Dolphins bar.
Wow. Wow, okay, so that is a legitimate Dolphins bar in Charlotte. That's awesome.
But
that's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. Not going to lie. Okay, so go ahead.
I was not there because the whole city was shut down because we had a huge snowstorm coming on Sunday. So
we would know about that.
Yeah.
I would.
I fucking hate
I wouldn't.
It. Snow, Galler, snow, and Matt. Galler, you're just in Wisconsin, so you're recent to it. Snow fucking sucks. It's cool for like 3 hours, and then you're like, all right, I'm over the shit. I want to actually walk on grass and not, but like I bust my ass every day because I forget it's ice in fall.
Wow, well that's just you, but yeah, I was just in Green Bay for the Packers game and I was telling my dad, I was like, snow is fucking dope, And then I thought about it. Unless you're, like, shoveling it out of your driveway, and I had to, like, get an ice scraper and scrape the windshield. I was like, all right, like, yeah, it's cool, but, like, this would have to suck doing every time I got in the car. Yeah.
I saw a video, like, I think it was last week on Twitter, of someone using a drone to get the snow out of their driveway. Did you see that?
I saw that.
The air from the bottom of the drone, they were flying it close to the driveway, and it just sprayed all the snow out of their driveway.
Incredible.
I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I, you know, I had to pull up the live stream on Reddit and connect it to my TV in my apartment, and like,
jeez, okay, okay,
that was the best game I've seen from the Dolphins in a long time, and it sucked because I was like, oh, we're gonna fucking lose, you know. So I'm sure you guys saw my Snapchat. I was about to cry, and like, as I was like texting like my parents and stuff, like my hands were shaking, and I've probably watched the video with the Titanic music in the background at least like 15,
well, that's amazing,
20 times a day.
That's amazing.
So
as you should.
So I have a question for you. Being that you were streaming on Reddit, I don't stream on Reddit, but the DirecTV Sunday Ticket stream is, you know, sometimes a few seconds behind. Mm-hmm. So I have had to turn off my Packers notifications. Did you get the phone, if you have your Dolphins notifications on, did you get the notification first that they won before you saw the play? Did it ruin it for you?
Great question.
It did get pulled up, but my phone like wasn't in hand, like it was on like the table, so like I heard it.
So you got to experience it live.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Genuinely got to experience it.
Yep. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
It was fucking.
That's awesome.
It was fun.
Honestly, it's the best finish in it's the best finish to any game in Dolphins history. I think can say that. I you know, and it was a moment where I don't feel like anybody's gonna forget where they were, especially Dolphins fans. I mean, just as someone who had no rooting interest in that game, just watching it, watching that play unfold, it was like, holy shit, he's going to do it. Like,
honestly, Belichick,
it all happened so
Belichick
fast.
Belichick deserves to lose that because he has Gronk back there for, like, he has to prevent a Hail Mary. Yeah. But Ryan Tannehill, who has been banged up, like,
he's not throwing
good
that
Christ, if he throws the ball 80 yards in the air, then, you know, hats off to him. But having Gronk back there was, you know, that was kind of like Belichick definitely said, well, I fucked that one up. And, you know, it was – I hate everything to do with the state of Massachusetts, so I will forever root against, you know, the Patriots, the Bruins, the Celtics, and, of course, the Red Sox. So seeing that they won made me happy. It made me even happier than most because I was very close to taking the Patriots. And I was like, you know what? Brady is 7-9 at the Dolphins. Fun fact, now he's 7-10. And I was like, they're going to lose this game.
Yeah, they were 9-point favorites.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to take the Dolphins spread because I was like, knowing me, like, Brady will score a stupid touchdown. But seeing them beat the Patriots in that fashion, that's basically the exclamation point on Rob Gronkowski retiring after this year.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
It does piss me off though because now I like think we have a chance to go in the playoffs and I'm just getting my heart broken. So I kind of wish they would have lost.
Well, all of our teams suck, so we can all talk about something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
We all have a mutual bond.
Yep.
So a little more on the sports gambling, the legalizing it. I was going to ask, you kind of touched on it, Matt, how it's going to affect the sports industry. You think more, you know, regular people, like, I don't say regular people, just not like big sports fans, it's going to definitely help growing sports, don't you think?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, I mean, it just gives, you know, it gives the fans something else to do while enjoying the game. And, you know, I think personally that more people will be it'll get the views up because people now have the opportunity to legally gamble on it. So now they have a reason to watch the games. Like, you know, I'm a big gambler, and sometimes I place bets and I don't watch the games, but, you know, there are some bets that I do place that, you know, I wouldn't be watching the Pacers at the 76ers tonight, but since I bet on it, I'm going to, I'm going to watch the game. So, overall, I think it'll help. Obviously, with everything, there comes some cons, so I think it can hurt in some ways, but I think the overall gist of it is that it was a good thing for sports, and it was needed. I mean, you know, everyone's doing it anyway, so you might as well legalize it at this point. Kind of, you know, the same take on marijuana.
If we're going to go there,
you're not going to stop people. Like, don't get me wrong, I'll still, like, forever use a bookie. I just don't believe in, like, the websites and stuff like that. But, you know, it's like marijuana. People that smoke are still going to smoke it if it's illegal, and people that gamble are still going to gamble even if it's illegal. They'll, everyone will always find a way to do something. So
yeah,
legalizing it is step one in getting the attendance and the views up, and, you know, nationwide, honestly.
Yeah, I think comparing it to marijuana and just how marijuana has been legalized is actually, like,
yeah,
really, really good comparison.
More and more states are starting to pick it up,
yeah,
and I think it's, I would say by the end of, you know, I'm going to go a little over the top here. By the end of 2025, you know, that's about six years basically over, I think it'll be legal in every state.
Oh,
honestly.
Yeah.
Except Alaska, because they don't really have much to bet on.
Did Florida, yeah, did Florida not pass it this year? Did I see that right? Or no?
It's only Jersey, I believe.
Jersey's the only – there's multiple levels to it. It's very weird.
Okay.
It's kind of like – again, it's kind of like how they had to legalize medical marijuana, mm-hmm, in some states before they even considered recreate – before they even put it on the ballot. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So it's one of those things where baby steps had to be taken. Now, the baby steps were taken in Florida. I believe the first steps that had to happen, but it's still – you know, a ways away, and Florida might be one of the last states, honestly, to have it come here, just because of just some of the things in this state, and the people who don't want it to happen. So, I mean, but I think for the most part, it'll be nationwide a lot sooner than people think.
And actually, an update, I'm seeing here that New Jersey, Mississippi, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island, those are the only five states that it is 100% legal in. But, you know, I kind of want to ask a question here to Matt. I don't play FanDuel as much, but you cannot play FanDuel in states that it's legal gambling now, correct?
No, they have you can download, like, the FanDuel, the legalized, like, betting app where you can bet on games
so
straight from your phone,
FanDuel,
and it's
app
from FanDuel. It's called FanDuel Sportsbook, I believe. And when you go on, it literally says you're not in New Jersey, so you can't bet.
Mm.
It's the only – yeah, New Jersey was the only state that will allow you to place a bet when you're in it. You don't have to even be a resident, I don't believe it. You just have to be in it to place the bet, which is so dumb. I mean, you know, how many people live in New Jersey, work in New York? You're crossing state lines every day around those parts. Like, it's just so dumb when – stuff's legal one place and not another place.
I guarantee you there are some, like, addicted gamblers that live in New York close enough to Jersey and, you know, the surrounding states that might actually
100%.
Drive into Jersey just to place bets and then drive back.
Yep.
Dude,
yep.
Jersey tourism is going to be at an all-time high, because why else would you go there?
Exactly. Now, for real.
Except for Atlantic City. And, I mean, if you're there, you're gambling anyway.
Yeah.
So
but the next step after that is just the in-arena, what they're going to do in-arena from a fan's perspective for gambling and how they're going to make it more interactive. I mean, I imagine being at a game, you know, there's multiple jumbotrons in most arenas. I imagine, you know, one of the things that might have stats on it, you know, might have the lines, the current live lines for the first quarter of the game you're watching. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Like, I imagine everything being so transparent and so interactive with the fans that everybody's going to kind of get involved and be a part of it.
Yeah, no, you know, it definitely makes sense. So as you two know, this is a motocross podcast, so I have to ask one question about you know, motocross. Do you think legalizing...
Okay, go for it.
Do you think... It's not like a Kaminsky's Corner question, so don't worry. But do you think legalizing...
I heard that was a very popular segment.
It depends on who you ask. If you ask Kaminsky, it's the most popular segment of all time. But if you ask anyone else who listens to this podcast, they probably shut it off right then. But we'll let him have his moment. Do you think legalizing sports gambling will bring gambling to smaller sports like motocross or like X Games and stuff like that?
Oh, 100%. Anything, it's more things to bet on. I mean, at the end of the day, people who want to bet and want to get your fix, I mean, I say all the time, nothing is more fun than international games that start in the morning, because you can wake up at 7 a.m. and gamble in bed. I mean, it's amazing. So I think just the more opportunities you get, not even stopping at motocross, you're talking about, like, there's, what was it, lacrosse leagues that are being built up now. Like, that's another thing to bet on. Like, everything that they're going to add is just one more thing to bet on. So I think for sure people who are into racing of all kinds, like NASCAR fans, whatever, probably are going to get into betting on that anyways once it becomes legal.
Even like esports or the cornhole tournaments they have on ESPN, you know?
They're already betting on esports. Esports is already being bet on. It's crazy how that is growing.
Literally a section on my bookie website.
Yeah, you can
I'm here. So for motor racing, the only thing I'm actually placing my bets for tonight right now. The only thing under motor racing is the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series winner. So to kind of piggyback off that, is I do think, you know, it will help, but at the same time, you know, there's been times where I've been betting on Russian hockey, like the Russian hockey
league. Oh yeah, but, the WNBA gets real hot.
But you know, that's basketball and hockey and stuff. We know that what the lines mean. So we know -1 means you have to win by one goal to push, and by two. So the difficult part with motocross is what would the bets be? Would it be like, are you just picking a straight up winner? Are you picking the fastest lap?
I was gonna say you could do it almost like horse racing. You could be placing.
Yeah,
are
you doing first, second, like that.
Third kind of thing.
So it's kind of those things. And you know, I don't know how it works with motocross as an individual racing, but you know, if there will be some games where I know something about a team, and I'm like, okay, they are clearly the better team overall. But with motocross, it's like, you know, this is, I'm gonna turn this into a question for you: is are the best racers, you know, like we're going to compare them to the Warriors here. The Warriors obviously can lose. Like they've lost, I think, 10 games this year. As a racer in motocross, if you're the favorite, like what's the percentage that you win?
That
like,
you actually
is
win.
It very likely, or is it, you know, can you have a bad day racing? I'm sure you can, but what does that look like in your eyes?
So
just in case this becomes legal, that way I know what to bet on.
Yeah, because you will can just betting. Consult me. So, like, back in the day, like, early 2000s, there was – Ricky Carmichael was the man. He rarely ever lost.
Oh, dude, I'll never forget that game. He had the green bike.
Yep, Kawasaki.
Yep, Kawasaki.
Good job. But now there's, like, four different guys who, you know, it's a toss-up if they're going to win that weekend or not, you know? So it is – you kind of know that, like, your main four who are going to be up there who are probably going to win it. But between them, it's pretty tough to, you know, decide who is going to win. You got to look at where they're racing. If it's an East Coast track and the dirt's a little softer, you're going to pick someone that's kind of more technical and, you know, stuff like that. So
it's I was good. That was the next thing I was going to ask you is, like, I don't know a lot about it. So, I mean, you can educate me here. What, as far as track conditions, that's something that gets, like, would get heavily favored into betting odds, right?
Yeah.
Because I would assume that certain riders are probably like specialists on certain turfs, mm-hmm. kind of like tennis players on dirt and grass and concrete. I would imagine that the lines would have a lot to do with that, on what specialty the certain riders were, right? I would assume that there's certain guys that are definitely favored to win on certain turfs. Mm-hmm.
So there's, for example, there's a track up in Massachusetts. It's all sand. It's the only track like it on the series. And the winners, there's kind of, you know, this guy, Eli Tomac, he's pretty much the best guy right now. He usually wins there. But let's say you could bet on, like, the fifth-place guy. That track caters to the locals so much that you'll have, like, a local guy get up in there and, you know, pull a top five, where normally he wouldn't even be anywhere close to that.
Because he knows the track so well.
Yeah. And then there's guys that are good in the mud, you know. So if it becomes a mud race, then, you know, you're probably going to put your money on. We have fantasy, too.
Gotcha, yeah.
There's a fantasy league. There's a couple of them, actually, for motocross, and you kind of play with handicaps
really?
And stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's like getting there almost, you know?
So, yeah, I mean, just to your point, I mean, I'm already 10 times more interested in gambling on motocross now than I was 10 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. So just to answer your question about if it's going to help improve it, I think for sure, because like I said, degenerate gamblers like myself and Galler, we will bet on anything that we are able to win. So
yeah.
At the end of the day, if I'm educated enough to think that I know and can be able to bet on this stuff successfully, then hell yeah, I'm going to fucking bet on this. You know, it's just another thing to bet on at the end of the day.
Yeah. for sure.
And I mean, I don't even know at what hours that they do this, but I mean, are there a lot of like international events and events that would start at all kinds of hours of the day, or is everything kind of right in the country?
I'll give you guys a quick run through of like a season for motocross. So there's Supercross, which is, Frankie always asks me, like, fucking around with me, what's the difference between Supercross and motocross? So Supercross runs from first weekend of January till May, and it's inside football and baseball stadiums. It's kind of more technical. It's on Saturday nights. More technical, not as, like, the endurance. Your endurance doesn't have to be at an all-time high and stuff like that. The weather's better. It's nice and cool out, or it's in a dome. So that's Supercross. And then from May till September is motocross, which is outside. The races are, you have 2 30-minute races. It's hot as shit. So the fit guys kind of excel there. So then when that's over, from October till now, there's a bunch of off-season races. Like, they're racing in Italy this weekend and stuff like that, where like a handful of guys go. And there's actually one in Australia that was a couple weeks ago, and that one you can actually bet on. They actually do have betting in Australia for that. So yeah, it goes all season long, but like the main series is January till like September, Saturday.
Yeah, see, I would say just for the main fact that there, when you're racing at night with all the other sports going on, you're competing for what people are betting on.
Yeah.
But those races where you're talking about being in Italy and stuff, those races probably start at, you know, whatever, 7, yeah, 8 in the morning. Those are the ones where people are going to be all over, because I'm telling you, like, in the World Cup this summer, that was so much fun being able to wake up at 6 a.m. and just be able to bet all morning and then have all your games in the country at night.
What is that, World Cup?
That would be soccer. That would be you son of a bitch. But you get my point.
Yeah, no,
It's something, especially to the there's nothing, I've said it before, but there's nothing like betting in the morning. That's the kind of stuff that would really get the interest going there. So yeah, to answer your question, I think for sure it's gonna expand it, because you've already educated me enough that I feel like I could win a bet now.
All right. Well, if they ever start doing motocross betting, just, you know who to call.
I will absolutely, you will be my expert on that. And you will also be responsible for all of my gambling debt, okay?
Okay, that's fine. 15%.
sorry about that, Kurt. I had to take a phone call.
Oh, you've been here the whole time. What are you talking about?
I
just figured Matt is kind of like the big cat of this podcast, and he kind of just takes control. So
no, I think we're both a big cat.
You cannot be more wrong.
Yeah, honestly, I don't feel like either one of us, we kind of both kind of take control.
We each
at
have our moments
parts.
And
yeah,
our spiels. We
I wouldn't
on.
Say that either one of us like leads the other on the pod. We probably should have it structured like
and
that, but
be,
we kind of both kind of go with it.
To be honest, at the beginning of the podcast, the gambling section was like, of course, completely me. And unfortunately, Matt has got extremely addicted to gambling.
I can
and now
tell.
It's like,
I can tell.
You know,
it comes and goes
to,
in waves, though.
I almost have to share my time, which is good, because now I don't have to place as many bets, because Matt texts me he loses, and like, you know, that's a loss. That's a loss to me, and then that makes me not want to bet for the night.
But see, I'm rooting for everybody to win their bets. I want Galler to win all his bets. I hope you want me to win all my bets.
I do, but when you lose, it hurts. It's like I lose too.
Oh, you know? I yes.
When you lose, I lose.
When you have a bad beat, I feel it in my heart as well, because I've been there. Fucking bucks plus 9.5.
Yeah, I was there. I watched that. I watched it just slip out of your hand.
Hey, I bet the under on the Packers Falcons game last week, and that fucked me. So,
and you lost.
Well, you bet the under. That was your first. That was your first problem. Yeah.
You never bet the under unless it's the Dolphins against the Colts at 52. I took the under, and the game ended at 51.
Yeah.
So that's about the only time I will ever take. Like, here's an example. I took the Celtics under last night at 220, and the game went to overtime. So, you know, that's what I get for taking the under.
Overtime will kill that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you guys a handful of questions here. You can just spit out your answers.
Rapid fire.
And then
at least for both of us to answer. Do you have some questions for me and some for Matt? Or
I mean, just, if Matt lets you answer, you can answer. It depends if Matt. No, I want to
wow.
hear. I want to hear answers from both of you guys. And then we'll end it with some NFL picks. All right, you guys ready?
Okay.
Why do people love sports?
Wow. Why do people love sports? I mean, it's different for everyone. Like, I grew up playing sports my whole life. Like, my dad loved sports, and that was just kind of what I got into. I was self-pitching baseball at 4 years old. I mean, it's just like, you can't really teach that. It's just something I loved, and, you know, to this day, it's like, and honestly, it kind of sucks loving sports so much. Like, I'm such a diehard fan for my team that, like, when they lose, it's tough. But to answer your question, why are people, you know, when it's like anything else in life, if you love it and you enjoy it, you're going to continue to do it. And, you know, it's the excitement, it's the heartbreak, it's the adrenaline, it's the, you know, the hobby. It's just everything that's really tied into one.
I would say it's two words. It's passion and competitiveness. I would say that from the aspect of playing sports from a very young age, I never fucking wanted to lose. No. And so that had the effect as I've gotten older to get very competitive about my sports. But I think being passionate about sports teams and being, some people only like watching sports, some people only like playing sports and not both. I'm one of those people that can get easily passionate about both.
Yeah.
Because I'm so passionate about the teams that I root for, the cities they play in, the fans, the players, I get so attached to it. And I will say I've gotten better as I've gotten older.
You're about to say your old
as
age.
My old age, yeah, my 23 old age. I've gotten better as I've gotten older of compartmentalizing when to actually say, you know, negative things and when to actually be upset about a team and when to get over it and be a big boy about it. Which, you know, when I was younger, it was always just, fuck this, how are we losing, like, whatever. And as I've gotten older, I've been able to, you know, make the difference with, all right, like, this is not the end of the world. At the end of the day, this is a game, but it does make you very passionate.
And one more thing I want to add to that answer is, you know, it comes down to it, like, when the Packers played the Dolphins, you know, I wasn't even so focused on the game. I was focused on beating my friends. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm not even playing the game, and it's more to me to know that they can't, you know, talk shit or something along that. It's like, when the Yankees lose to the Red Sox, it's like, yeah, we lose to the Red Sox, but that opens the door for all of my Red Sox fans to say stuff. And it's for every team and every sport. And, you know, great example was the Packers and Dolphins. Like, I really wasn't talking with you, but Zach, you know, one of our good friends, was like, hey, yeah, Dolphins, Packers. And, you know, it was like, I knew if we lost, he was going to send me a text. But I know us winning, like, I'm not going to rub it in. I just know that I don't have to deal with that, like, negativity, because that's what makes me mad, is when my friends start talking about my team losing. It's like, listen, I watched the game and we lost. Like, scratch it off and let's move on.
Yeah, to big piggyback what you just said about, like, the Red Sox winning it. Like, at the end of the day, they won it. I don't fucking care. We're both Yankee fans, obviously. Like, it sucks that the Red Sox won it, but that's not even close to being the worst part. Like, the worst part about them winning it is now that, you know, 10 of my closest friends are diehard Red Sox fans. And so I'm dealing with that shit on a daily basis. And that shit hurts more than actually seeing, you know, the fucking championship banner get raised in Boston. That shit's whatever. I can get over that from a sports fan. But it's the, like, you know, my friends having the bragging rights over me almost means more.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that, too. And, you know, like, even, like, the Eagles winning, I had to listen to Meek Mill for weeks. I hate Meek Mill now, because every morning I woke up to dreams and nightmares. And, like, okay, it was fine for the first couple of days, but now it's like, what the fuck? And now, like, I wanted the Eagles to win, and now I cannot stand the Eagles just because of Kaminsky. So.
That's great. Yeah. That's great, dude.
Okay, you can only have one drink for the rest of your life. What are you picking? Alcoholic, of course.
Alcohol or just anything in general?
Alcohol, come on.
Well, I mean, my one drink would definitely be alcohol. Like, I'm not
water. Well, no, but in general. Which, like, I don't know if it was specifically alcohol.
What drink? Do you want to go first? I'll let you go first.
I mean, look, like, if you're going to have the same thing for the rest of your life, I can't go something that's, like, outlandish, that's, like, I can't do a Jaeger or something that's, like, that's the only thing I can drink. Like, I think I would go with something very basic, what I normally drink. It would just be vodka soda. I can't imagine drinking, like, you know, something aggressive every single time. You know what I'm saying? I would just be more consistent.
Yeah, you couldn't do Y-bomb, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, if you, like, pick Y-bomb, like, that's the only way you can consume alcohol for the rest of your life. I wouldn't want that. I think I'd want something more steady on a consistent pace that I can enjoy.
Yeah, mine would either be a sell a bottle, or, you know, Matt said vodka soda, but you said one drink. So my one drink is going to be Tito's tonic with a lemon, because that's something, like you said, it's light, but it's, you know, great vodka. You should actually try this. My buddy turned me on to this at Rusty's, and it was with New Amsterdam, and it was like, all right, but dude, so the vodka with the tonic and a lemon literally turns it into like lemon water.
A lemon instead of lime?
A lemon instead of a lime. So I've been drinking Tito's tonic, and I hate tonic. Like, give me tonic with the lime, and I think it's awful, but my one drink would either be Estella or Tito's tonic and lemon, because that's probably better for my health and weight.
Yep.
For the rest
long-term,
of my life.
Long-term. Yep.
What would yours be? We're going to turn this back on you.
Good question.
Thank you.
Oh, ice cold Bud Light.
Bud Light. See, it's like, I love Bud Light to death, but for the rest of your life, you can never drink anything else. You're going to just drink Bud Light.
I mean, I'd rather do that than, like, if I just want to go grab a beer and watch the Dolphins and then I get a freaking vodka soda with tonic and a little lime in it.
That is also extremely true. I mean, when I'm watching games, you know, I like drinking beer because when we lose, I could chug. We're just, like, constantly drinking, whereas with the Tito's tonic, you know, I drink five of those. It's very different than 12
beers.
Yeah,
every now and then I need that liquor kick. Exactly. Like, I wouldn't be able to just do beer.
Yeah, when I drink liquor, bad things happen, so I'm sticking with
beer. Good question, though, sir. That, I've never really been asked a good one.
Favorite sports memory?
As a athlete or as a fan?
Either one.
All right, I've got one more question. As something that I've watched or that I've witnessed or something that, like, live that I've witnessed, or it doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter. Whether you played
favorite
it, you watched it.
Favorite sports memory.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Go ahead.
It's very close, because it's going to be two of my team's championship moments.
I know what one's going to be. One's going to be France.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't even. Really? It wasn't even. No. That's more personal to me. But the as far as favorite sports moment was either just the Yankees 2009 championship run in general.
Yeah.
Or Game 6 in Miami 2012, Ray Allen hitting the shot heard round the fucking world. Me crying into my Udonis Haslam jersey, thinking we just lost the finals again. That might, honestly, that one particular moment of him hitting that shot is probably my number one.
That's another one where every Heat fan knows where he was or where they were at that time, you know?
Oh, yeah. To this day, I've always said, I've never said any, like, series of words that contain the word fuck more than after Ray Allen hit that shot. I think I probably said fuck like 40 times in the next 15 seconds after that shot went in.
Galler?
Oh, man. Can I also do two since my co-host did two?
I did pick one.
And then I'll do two as well. That way it's all even.
Okay. One of them will definitely be the 2010 Super Bowl, where the Packers beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then the other one, can it be a heartbreak?
Yeah.
So the other one, I mean, this is something I will never forget. And, you know, it's taught me a lot. Would probably yet again be the Packers, the NFC Championship, when we were up 16 points against the Seahawks with 4 minutes left and we lost. Because that is something I will never forget. I was at Buffalo Wild Wings off Daniels with my dad. We were up 16. We were celebrating. And then, you know, they scored, 2-point conversion, onside kick. Never forget his name, Brandon Bostic, hits off his head. And, you know, that was just a heartbreaking moment in my life that I will never forget. So although it's heartbreak, it's one of those, you know, memories as a fan that I will never get over.
Yeah.
I felt that.
Yeah, I felt it.
The Seahawks won the Super Bowl that year?
No, they didn't hand the ball off to Mark Tomlin.
Yep.
I would have to see it. I don't know if it's so fresh, but this Miami Miracle, I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
I mean, dude, winning, like Zach told me, he's like, beating this was the closest thing to a Super Bowl win or a playoff win you guys will see in next 3-5 years. So
yep.
That was huge for, like, you know, just, I mean, the best part about it was seeing the faces of the Patriots.
Yeah,
just to put it into perspective, on Miami radio this past week, they were comparing what the best, like, possible Dolphins finishes were. And you know what, like, the consensus agreement after this one, like, the only thing that could compete with it was Greg Camarillo catching that touchdown to avoid the Dolphins going completely defeated and having a 1-15 season. That was the other finish that compared with this, was a 1-15, your one win. It's like, no, this was the greatest win in franchise history. So you can definitely put that on your list.
And then I think which one was really cool, happened not too long ago, was when D. Gordon hit that home run after Jose Fernandez died.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's another thing I'll never forget. I fucking cried.
That's,
like,
a good one.
If you watched that whole night and you were and you had a beating heart and you didn't cry watching D. Gordon cry his eyes out around those bases, that was absolutely incredible. I'll never forget that. You know who he hit that home run off of, right?
No, I don't remember.
That would be Big Sexy himself, Bartolo Colon.
Okay.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's fun fact for you.
All right, you can't say
that brings me to it. I think you know, I want to change that heartbreak. I think it would be Derek Jeter's 3,000 hit being a home run.
I was going to say I could pick, like, 5 Derek Jeter moments.
Yeah.
His last game.
Next question.
Yeah. You can't say Packers. You can't say Giants. Best and worst NFL uniforms.
The best are the baby blue Los Angeles Chargers, San Diego Chargers, technically.
Well, no, technically Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, those jerseys were San Diego
Chargers. Oh, yeah.
They don't wear them anymore.
You are correct.
So that's my best. I'll let you go your best, and then we'll do worst.
I know my worst right off the bat. Let me think about my best.
So do you want to go worst first?
My worst would be the Steelers Bumblebee jerseys.
The prison-looking Bumblebee jerseys.
Yeah. Those are the worst ones. Now, my best one is almost like a, it's so bad that it's good kind of thing. And that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers creamsicle jerseys.
The orange
one?
I like that stuff.
Yeah. I feel like those are one of those jerseys that might get, like, those are so bad that they're kind of good jerseys, but those would be my favorite ones that are not Giants or Packers, because if I could say Giants, I would say the Giants' red uniforms that they never wear are low-key the most fire uniforms. They haven't worn those jerseys in, like, 3 years, though.
Yeah. Do you know your best, or do you want me to do my worst?
I just said my best was the creamsicle jerseys.
Oh.
Thanks for listening.
You kind of blended that in there. So I can't say the Packers, but I think our alternate
the one with the
jerseys,
circle on the helmet?
I think they are hideous. They are disgusting. Yeah. They actually, when I was just at Lambeau, they had jerseys there, and my dad looked at me and said, I wouldn't buy that with your money, and I couldn't agree more. But I think the worst jersey is either a Chicago Bears or a Minnesota Vikings jersey.
Well, a little biased on that one, but they're pretty bad.
A little bit biased.
No, but realistically, what jersey? I mean, like, I don't know, dude. Fucking what teams are out there? The Bills white jersey.
The mustard.
I like the Bills white.
The Jaguars could be on there for worst jersey.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I mean, when I say worst jersey, I just mean, like, not appealing at all. Yeah. Like,
I'm going.
I don't know. The Raiders jerseys kind of suck. The Raiders jerseys are just a black jersey.
Yeah, I mean, when it gets down to the core, the Raiders jerseys are very plain. Yeah.
I hate the Bucks.
What's yours?
The Bucks with the gold on the sleeves. It looks terrible. The white with the gold on the sleeves, I think it looks awful.
I think the current Bucks jerseys, all of the current Bucks jerseys with the digital, like, print on the side, I think are awful. And I have Bucks friends, Bucks roommates who agree on that take very much so. They do not like their uniforms at all.
Okay, after doing some research, did you say the Jaguars mustard jerseys? Those are horrendous.
Yeah. Yes, horrendous.
You know,
horrendous. They're right up there with your Packers circle yellow jerseys.
You know which ones are, like, low-key, like, I am starting to really like, is both Chargers jerseys, the dark blue, and then the ones they wore last night. They just look super clean to me. Maybe it's the two blues, but I think those look really good.
They have one of the better color schemes.
And then also I think one of the best jerseys, I hate to say this, is the lime green Seahawks. Like, when they go color rush, like,
Yeah, I'm a sucker for highlighter anything.
They just wore that against the Vikings, I believe. But it has, they went all highlighter green, and I think those are just so, like, clean looking. Like,
yeah,
I
am a sucker for the highlighter in any capacity. Like, I love it when NBA players who don't have that color at all in their color scheme are wearing, like, the fucking neon shoes. I'm a sucker for all that stuff. So, yes, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so you have to get rid of one of the major four. I'm not counting MLS in this because no one gives a fuck about soccer. You have to get rid of one of the major four sports leagues. So NBA, NHL, NFL, and MLB, and why?
Wow. That's terrible.
I'm abstaining from this question.
It's tough. I mean, it would have to be hockey because I think at the end of the day, that would be the fourth one on my list. But it's to the point where all of them are very, very near to the top. So it's not like it would be last. It's just fourth. But I guess that would be the one, unfortunately, because I would not be able to live without the other three.
Yeah. I'm going to NBA, but that's just me.
Also, just for your fucking information, the Atlanta soccer team is the highest attended sports team of any team in the United States per game. So stop talking your shit about soccer. Yeah, and they just won the cup and had the MLS.
They brought the MLS cup to a strip club.
Isn't there only like eight teams in MLS? Who cares?
That is not true. There are much more than eight teams. I hate you for doing that, Kurt.
There's 24 MLS.
Oh, that's
and don't forget Miami gets their fucking team in a year and a half.
The Flamingos.
Goddamn Inter Miami, baby.
Super Bowl matchup.
Patriots Saints.
The Saints haven't looked that good though, like the last 2 weeks, I feel like.
Who hasn't looked that good?
The Saints.
That's true, but I mean, you got Drew Brees back there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you asked me for my Super Bowl prediction right now. That was the first two that came to my head.
All right.
Wow. Oh, man. I'm going to have to go in the AFC with the Chiefs just because that offense, you know, it's something ridiculous. And then, oh, man, the Seahawks look really good now, but I can't put them in. I guess I'm going to have to go Saints-Chiefs. I mean, I just think when it comes down to it, if the NFC Championship is the Rams against the Saints, I just think, you know, the Saints could prevail in that win because the Saints are going to have home field, and it's going to be tough for anyone to go through New Orleans and get that win. That's what I'm thinking. And, you know, same thing for AFC. It's going to be hard to go into Arrowhead. I know the Chargers did it last night, but I'm going to go the Chiefs and who did I say? The Saints.
Yep.
What's your take?
I think it depends on who has home field and NFC because it's still up for grabs, isn't it? Between the Rams and the
Saints. Yes, home field and NFC is still up for grabs.
So I think
Saints have a pretty easy schedule, though. But
yeah.
Panthers and Bucks, I believe.
All right. Well, yeah. If it's the Saints, then yes, I'll go Saints. We'll go Chargers. Throwing it out there. Phil Rivers gets it done. Wins.
You're not crazy for that. I mean, like, after last night's win, the Chiefs and Chargers are now tied for first place in that division, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to come down to
the last two games, Super Bowl.
But Chargers are not a bad pick. If Melvin Gordon can come back healthy, I mean, you know, and the Chargers stop jumping off sides on every fucking defensive
that
play.
That was ridiculous, last night. Ridiculous.
Yeah, last night was stupid.
Most drunk you've ever been.
Miami Clemson about 4 years ago was Al Golden's last game as the coach of the 70, Miami Hurricanes.
70-0?
We lost, I believe it was 52 or 53 to nothing. I don't think it was 73-0. I don't remember the last 2 hours of the tailgate or the first half. I woke up in my seat in the upper deck with about 3 minutes left to go until halftime, and we were down 38-0.
Wasn't that a noon game?
That was a noon game. So this is absolutely a day where I was taking fireball shots at 7:48 a.m. And so, yeah, I woke up. It was 38-0 first half. I got my things and I left. And Al Golden never coached another game for the Miami Hurricanes. That was the drunkest I've been.
Galler?
The drunkest I've ever been was, believe it or not, my sister's wedding.
Because, that's a good one to
because
become.
Listen, when you're like the brother of the bride, they treat you as
you
if,
have obligations.
They treat you as if you're the bride. Like,
yeah.
I skipped every line at the bar. They were handing me the bottle at one point, and without a doubt, the drunkest, because my parents knew I wasn't driving. Like, I wasn't driving anywhere. I had one rule, and that was to just stay awake, which I did. And that would definitely be the drunkest because everything was all inclusive. It was all my parents. I mean, it was my sister's wedding. So I just, you know, it was one of those things where I was drinking with my brother-in-law like beforehand, and I just started at 11 and probably didn't finish till 12, 1. So definitely would be my sister's wedding was the drunkest I've ever been.
That's a great one.
My sister gets married in August, so I will try to live.
And I guarantee you,
there's your expectation.
You will at least have it in your top five drunkest. I can guarantee that. Like, you will have. It's just like it's almost a given that the immediate family is going to be absolutely hammered at the wedding.
Yeah. Well, I will try to live up to that. I'm going for my 21st birthday, dude. I know it sucks to say it, but it was. Lonnie Kai. Had a room at the Lonnie Kai. Went to the cottage next door.
Oh, no.
And
sorry to hear that.
Threw up all in the sand and managed to lay in it right after. So, and Terp had to carry me
to
my room. So, it was really fun.
That's good. It was all of that is just phenomenal.
Awesome experience. Two more.
All right, what else you got for us?
We got two more. We'll make these ones quick. Rusty's or Keys Bar?
Rusty's. Well, which Rusty's?
Yeah, you got to specify.
Estero.
Are you asking me now or are you asking younger Robert?
Yep, same
I'm asking question. From freshman year of FGCU till now, Robert.
Oh, I mean, freshman, sophomore, junior year would be Keys Bar. And then once I was 21 and could, like, get into Rusty's without worrying about Joe or Junior, I think now it would have to be Estero because Keys has just turned in. I mean, Keys is always going to be the freshman bar. So when we were younger, it was Keys. But now if I had to go to one place, I'm probably going Estero.
That would be my exact same answer.
As we know, us three were big part of my take fans. There's a burning building, and you can only save one. PFT or Big Cat?
Oh
come on.
No.
Come on. Bubba.
I was going to say Hank because he produces it. Dude, I'm not answering that either.
Billy Football. Gather,
Billy Football. I'm saving Billy Football.
I'm saving Larry the Goldfish.
Yep. No, yeah, no. Larry, yep. Or, actually, no, I'm saving Big Cat's pile.
Or
I'm taking all of his clothes.
You save Big Cat, dump Larry on a PFT, and hope he gets out alive. Extinguish the fire.
That's such a fucked up question, Kurt. Don't ask me shit.
Or
like that.
I take Big Cat, you take PFT, and we...
We all take one of them.
That
would have
been
we're
the smartest
all
answer.
One of them.
I don't like Hank. I'm not a big Hank fan, so I'll leave it there. When he does the fantasy fuckboys, it's like it like irks me. I don't know. He's like trying to.
Honestly, fantasy fuckboys has grown into like my most anticipated thing that I listen to every week of across any podcast. It is the most like I stop the podcast right when they're about to start it, and I get myself, you know, ready. I get myself all vitamined up, if you will. And I really look forward to that every week.
I was nervous when they tried to do that Rick Pitino skit. I was like, this better not
be. No, that was 1 week. That was 1 week and it was over.
All right, let's end this thing with some NFL picks. Give me your under, over pick of the week.
So my pick is I saw that the Falcons are somehow favored by 9. No, not taking that at all. Oh, they're
looking at the line.
Get out of here with that. I don't care how bad the Cardinals are. The Falcons are fucking terrible, and I'm not giving them 10 points. Like, I'm taking the Cardinals plus 10.
Who'd the Cardinals beat? Who'd the Cardinals beat the other week again?
They beat the Okay. Yep, you got a bad look from Galler right there. Yep, we need to wrap this up right now.
You're a piece of shit.
It's all right, dude. The Packers, like, demolished the Dolphins and other team.
That's how we end it, Kurt.
That's how we end it? We're going to end it?
That's how we end it.
You got to bring that up. what about my picks, asshole?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got two. I got the Cowboys plus +3 against the Colts in Indianapolis. I mean, the Cowboys are playing really good football. I hate to say that. And I also have the Cleveland Browns plus +2.5 tomorrow against the Broncos because Baker Mayfield is 28-2 as a starter on Saturday.
Yep. And the Broncos also haven't lost to the Browns since 1991.
And that is why I'm taking the Browns.
Nobody's lost to the Browns since 91, though.
As far as over-under, if you give me a second here, I'll quickly look.
Hey, I think the Packers do win this weekend, though, Galler, if it makes you feel better.
I really hope so, dude. I think, honestly, like, it's a very low spread, but I think the Jags or Redskins under 36. I mean, those teams are just so brutal.
Aren't the Jags favored by, like, 9-2?
Jags are favored by 7.5. But, I mean, the Redskins are just that bad.
The Jags came and scored 7.5 points in a game.
Yeah, literally.
That's true.
All right. Cool. Well, thank you guys very much for coming on. It was fun. Maybe we'll do it again when motocross becomes. They have gambling for motocross. So
absolutely,
we'll
yeah. Let us know the feedback from your crowd over there, and subscribe to the Sports Gambling Degenerates podcast on iTunes.
Give us a 5-star, and honestly, we just went for 54 minutes. I don't even know if we can record tonight.
Oh yeah, no, we got a lot done here. It was good.
Yeah, it was nice, Kurt. We'll definitely have you on. I mean, if we do decide to do this episode tonight, obviously not tonight, but we would like to call you in at one point and, you know, return the favor.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. It'd be a lot of fun. And I'll hopefully see you guys down south in a couple weeks for New Year's. I don't know what you guys are doing.
Yeah, you were just here. I was away, so I didn't get to see you. But, you know, next time you cross the old pond, we'll see you here. Well, there's no pond to cross. But anyway, yeah, next time you're here, we'll get a Bud Light and a Tito's tonic and lemon together.
All right. Sounds good. Maybe a couple Y-bombs too. All right, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Thanks for having us. See ya. Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be the same. Straight caught up in the game.
Living the life, that's how I live. Try to get out, tell me how to survive without my crew. Armani's, Ferraris, casinos, hitting jackpots. Good luck, I think not, we own the car from block to block. City to city, all day, every day. It's like a celebration for the criminal nation. Himido, wife and kids, that's what I need. Wanna go out like a man, try to understand without blood on my hands. Dear God, please save my soul. I put the rest on hold, not seven. I still got time to reach heaven. 1 million reasons to get out, choose one. There's only one, to put the 9mm to your dome, then you're gone. Did I do right or wrong? Tell me. I might drop some tears from my eye, but you never see me cry. Champagne, spit rhymes like crazy insane. LA to Stocktown, different players caught up in the same game.
Am I right or